Hi, ghostly addicts and mystery addicts. Welcome to the show. Today we have this incredible story about El Fausto, the boat that disappeared three times, and the mystery note that was found inside of it. Oh my gosh, it's just such a great story. I'm excited for all of you to hear about it. The El Fausto, known as the Foss, is a fishing boat, and it's located in La Palma Island, which is in the Canary Islands. And so the boat is about 46 foot in length, around that, and it's about 44,000 pounds, if that shows you the size of this fishing boat, which as a fishing boat, it's pretty large, you know, right? And then she also, the Foss was used for fishing, and she did transportation. They transported fruits, vegetables, diesel fuel, and, you know, goods across the archipelago, which is the area over there. And so it had a nice reputation of really being this durable boat, and her top knot speeds were about 7 knots. And the owner, and this happened in 1968, and the mystery surrounding this boat, I mean, you guys are going to love it. I'm so excited to have you come on and tell me your theories and what you think. Rafael Acosta is the owner, and Rafael employed Ramon and Alberto Hernandez, their brothers, and they're at that time they were age 47 and 42 approximately, and they also, their cousins Miguel and Viterbo Acosta, who are around the similar ages in their 40s, like 43 and 41, and they were the four crew members of El Fausto, the Foss boat. And they were very, very experienced sailors and fishermen. So they supposedly knew how to, you know, navigate the boat. And they've been in this trade since they were young kids and their teenagers. And, you know, the owner, Rafael, you know, obviously liked working with his family and was very confident in his crew member skills. Because at the sea doesn't play. You need to have people that are very, very smart. In case there's a storm or whatever, you get lost at sea, you know, I think those things, you need to have really good crew. So the mysterious July 20th, 1968, the Fausto leaves Terraza Corte. And the Fausto left Terraza Corte port and was heading to El Hierro Island. That was about 50 miles south of La Palma, and Julio needs a ride. And they said the boat was carrying a cargo of explosives that would be used for agricultural purposes at the island they were heading to. And Viterbo was not on board that day because there was a local festivity and there was a celebration. And he had a previous commitment to that he would, you know, do some official acts in his hometown of Terraza Corte. So several hours after the Fausto made her journey to Frontera, which is in the northern shore of El Hierro, where Ramon, Alberto, and Miguel, they unloaded the cargo, right? And then who was in Frontera 2, he was 27 years old and the father of two, Julio Garcia, had recently got a job as an irrigation maintenance chief at a nearby private island. So they said that Julio Garcia received a call from his wife, and their little tiny cute 2-month-old daughter was very, very sick. And the doctor had prescribed her some antibiotic shots. So she was sick. So he wanted to come on board the boat to get to La Palma as soon as possible to see his sick daughter. But he missed it for a few minutes. And so what happened is a boat wouldn't be coming to depart for a few days later. So that's when Julio, who was desperate to see his sick child, which is interesting, if your daughter is sick, like how sick was she? Like, we'll never know. Like, was it a cough? Was it a cold? Like, why did he have to run back so quick? I mean, back in 1968, it wasn't like they had a cell phone to call from the boat or Skype or Zoom to see his daughter and tell his wife everything's okay. But he wanted to get back to his daughter, which is great for a father to be with his sick daughter. And so Julio went to the boat docked at Las Palmas, which was the Fausto, who I told you it was owned by Rafael Acosta, and he employed his brothers Ramon and employed the brothers Ramon and Alberto Hernandez, and they worked along with Miguel and Roberto Acosta. So this is Julio Garcia, supposedly wanting to get home to his sick daughter, and he offered to pay them for a ride. And they're like, no, we don't want any money. Just come on board, when he told them the whole story. So it seems like a very admirable thing to do, right? And then so now the boat is getting some fruits. They're going to be delivering fruits, whatever it is, bananas, oranges, mangoes, whatever the fruit is. They had this about 7 to 8 hours trip to head to La Palma. And it was 2:30 a.m. of July 21st, 1968. And after they leave to head to La Palma, something mysteriously happened to these four men that no one would see them ever again. So what happened? What went wrong? The early morning hours of 21st, this is sort of what we know. The Fosso's crew, and they've done this. The ship has gone back and forth to the islands, and there didn't seem to be any significant issues with the weather. There was no storms and no hurricane. And that night, it was reported that the sea was very calm, and their other fishermen would reported later, a light mist arrived in the area that morning, which might have reduced visibility. Probably, maybe making it harder for the crew to spot the La Palma's huge mountains, because La Palma, that island, had big mountains, and but everyone kind of said, well, Raphael and his crew were very, very capable. They've gone back and forth to this island. They know these waters. So, the boat, the El Fausto, was expected to arrive at La Casa Corte at 10 a.m. on July 21st, but the boat never made it to the port. And then, so the family members are worried, and then so Rafael ordered another set of his employees to sail from Tazacorte to Frontera. So, to make this Fausto's planned route in reverse to see if they could find the boat and find out what happened. So that's very smart and wise. So that was very nice that Rafael Acosta sent out some other crew, re reversing the position, hoping to run into the boat and the crew. To find them. And so they're just hoping that the boat had like a mechanical failure or something like that. So what happened, they were looking on July 22nd, the next day. There was an emergency message radioed to all ships in the area west of the archipelago. That now they were saying that Fausto was officially missing at sea. So at noon at CASA 2111, a bomber took off the island of Gran Canaria and headed west. So there was great weather sunny, reported no clouds, great visibility, and the plane looked and for the boat and just said they did not see the ship. They didn't see anything. So the boat, where did this boat go? And this boat, the mystery of this missing boat at sea just is like, where did it go? Did it sink? The boat had like, 10 kilograms of fruit with them. They had very little fresh water. So water is so important for hydration and surviving the sea. So July 25th, a radio message from de Cuccia. So after midnight, maritime authorities received a radio message from de Cuccia is the Duchess. So Duchess is a British ship that was coming from South America en route through the Netherlands. That this British ship called the Duchess had spotted the small fishing boat. It was adrift in the ocean, and the boat's crew, so there's crew on the boat, used flashlights to signal the position, and the position was 28 degrees 15 to the north, 19 degrees 45 west. So they were about 109, they were 120 miles west of La Palma, which was nowhere near El Foster's route to go drop the fruit off. And so after the British vessels confirmed the mystery's boat was in fact the Fausto, Ramon, Alberto Miguel, and Julio were alive, reportedly dehydrated, hungry, sunburned, and just, very mysterious. So the good news was like, okay, and it seemed like okay, great, this is gonna be a happy ending. And so the British crew had some help with Spanish-speaking crew members of the Duchess, so they were communicating with the Fausto. They gave him the food, the water, and this is where it just turns strange. It's like, okay, so yeah, you found the four members, right? Yay, right? Everything's great. But this is where it's really mysterious and strange. They're like, yay. Okay, so we're gonna tow you back to and help you. And they're like, oh, can we just be given enough fuel and food to make it to La Palma by ourselves? And they're like, oh, and the British crew's like, hey, what kind of mechanical breakdown or failure did you have? I'm like, oh, our boat's fine, And then and the, one of the members of the Duchess crew pointed out that the four members seemed to be frightened by their experience. They weren't in the state of mental breakdown. And anyhow, they're like, okay, we'll give you the fuel for saving sailing back, the 18 hours to get back to your home, and here's some food and water for the trip. So the British fleet watches as the boat departs and head back to the Archipelago and head back to La Palma. So everything seemed cool. They found them, right? But this is, okay, remember, mysterious three times. So everyone was just back in Tazacorte, everyone was relieved, and the town had gathered at the port waiting for the Fausto's return. A celebration was stated, wine included. All four men's family were just elated and happy, and they're waiting for the boat to come back. So at 1900, the Fausto has not returned yet to the Tazacorte port. Everyone's at the dock. What's going on? And yeah, that should be coming. It should come in. It's going to be arriving soon. It's going to be arriving soon. And hours just passed away, and night came, and no boat is inside. So the Fossa was missing again. So July 26th, the search continues for this boat. And so now not one plane, but four planes head from Gran Canaria to go search for this mysterious La Fausto. And so they were flying and up to where the Duchess, the British ship, ran into the Fausto. And then they searched and searched and searched. And other ships and military and civilians, including the Castor, a research vessel, was searching for their boat. And they even requested to mainland Spain, which sent Grumman hydroplanes, as well as two Douglas DC-4s that would help cover the whole research area. And the Fausto became the largest search for a missing person in Spain's history, costing over 1 million pesetas, which is approximately about $2.26 million in the U.S. And that was back in 1968. So over $2 million to search for this boat. I mean, incredible efforts to find them. And so the Fausto was nowhere to be found. And so on August 7th, the search was called off and the Fausto was officially lost at sea. How could that be? So on October 9th, 1968, 10:54 a.m., the Ana de Mayo finds something in the ocean. 2 months had passed by and you know, the family members of the Fausto's crew were just saying, like, you know, maybe the boat sank or something, and they were never coming back. So, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, an Italian merchant ship, Ana de Mayo, and all about Italian, you guys know I was born in Italy, my mom's Italian, Naples, Italy. So, the Ana de Mayo, so this is in the Atlantic Ocean, people, Atlantic Ocean, with an Italian merchant ship. They were en route to Venezuela, and it was dark. It was a cloudy morning, but the sailing conditions were very favorable. And so they see something in the distance, and they realize there was a small fishing boat, and it seemed to be adrift, and no one steering the boat. No one was at the wheel. And her call sign was clearly visible on the hull, and you could see the name, Fausto. And so they stopped next to the boat, and the first mate, Lucanzo Ascone, with a deck sailor, boarded the deserted ship. So there was no one on deck or the captain, and it was good condition of the boat. And it seems like the crew had just disappeared. Like, they simply vanished without any trace. And they didn't seem to find any signs of violence or any damage to the ship, right? If, you know, like, why is it no one in there? And they couldn't find the logbook. There was no logbook. And back at that time, remember, there was no Zoom, no cell. Well, I don't think there was any cell phones or anything like that. And just the boat was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean with no one on board. And then they opened the hatch on deck that led to the engine room. And they climbed down because, you know, you're going throughout the whole entire boat, you know. There was a man lying on the floor in the engine room. And he was dead. He was lying face up. He was naked. And a transistor radio was found next to him. So was he trying to get radio help? You know, maybe he was dehydrated, and they said he was mummified. So the sailor came back to the Ana de Mayo and told the radio operators to take a message. And so they inspected the engine room and tried to find out what happened. They found a small notebook that supposedly, allegedly belonged to the guy that they found. And very interesting is there was a number of pages removed. About 28 pages were missing from the notebook, ripped out from the notebook. And so that's very mysterious. So why were these pages ripped out? Who ripped them out? Where are these ripped out pages? And the first ones just were numbers, said simple calculations that were written in Spanish. And their last notes on it it seems to have been removed, and it contained very elaborate text that, you know, the Italians didn't really understand. And so they returned back to their boat, the Anna Di Mauro, with the notebook and a couple of documents found in the cabin, mostly insurance documents. So after 5 hours with the encounter, the Spanish authorities, you know, from La Palma, they, this body need to be, to go back to Spain to be examined to get some answers. So the Anna Di Mauro informed their intentions to tow their fossil with them all the way back to Puerto Carabello, Venezuela. And they said they would send to Spain an envelope with the documents found. And but they didn't mention the notebook till later. Very interesting. This mystery just deepens and deepens. And okay, so on October 11th, 6:30 a.m., a telegram from the Anna Di Mauro. So 2 days from the reappearance of the Fossa's boat and the decision to tow it to Venezuela, the Spanish authorities received a telegram from Anna Di Mauro, the Italian boat. It was a very strange and bizarre message to just like, what? While they were towing the Fossa, it had sunk during the night, ripping and dragging the towing cable with it. And they named the exact position where it happened. And it was about 14,000 miles southwest from La Palma and some 18,000 miles northeast from Venezuela. So they're saying that the Fossa boat reportedly sank. And the dead body on the Fossa, you know, couldn't be retrieved because the body went down with the ship. So the only thing left was the documents retrieved by the Italians, the Asconi, the sailor who went there. And then, so they, the notebook and the documents arrived in La Palma, and it was shown to the victim's family. And Julia Garcia's wife, Luz, recognized it as her husband's notebook, and she recognized the writing, and it said there were some payments to those requested his service as a mechanic back in La Palma. So, you know, once on Spanish soil, you know, they looked at the notebook's contents and it was examined. The last page contained a farewell to Julio, to his young wife, and which he instructed her how to proceed with the insurance he had paid for and how to sell his property so that she wouldn't find herself in desolate. So it was instructing her what to do after his death. And the text and the from the notebook, the word says, quote unquote, "Don't ever tell," in parentheses, "their then 5-year-old son's name," parentheses, "all that has happened to me. You know that God wanted this fate for me. Love you," quote, which is very interesting. And this is where the mystery just sets us up for so many questions. Okay, was "don't tell our 5-year-old son" a code or a secret code for like, if she obviously was his wife. So if something he was doing that was like people were speculating, was there criminal activities? Was there drugs involved? Was there guns involved? Was there human trafficking? So whatever went down, whatever happened on that boat, he knew if they could come kill him or if he was killed or whatever supposedly, allegedly happened to him, this was maybe some kind of code for her. Because clearly, if they had only one daughter, we don't know if he had like a son plus a daughter. But if he only had a daughter, and don't tell her 5-year-old son's name, so maybe 5 plus the son, maybe it's called "don't ever say what happened to me." Maybe it's his way of saying, hey, don't let anyone know about my business because, you know, you don't want to be dead or have our child dead or something. There's some kind of code, everyone's speculating, that, you know, to protect his wife from whatever happened to him, the fate wouldn't happen to her. So we'll never know unless some of you know. And so that was the note. "Don't ever tell our 5-year-old son all that has happened to me. You know that God granted this fate for me. Love you." And Julio's address was written at the bottom of the page. And yes, his wife, Luz, confirmed that was her husband's writing. And in 2013, Luz was still alive and kept the last page of his notebook. And she never married again. So it's like Julio knew about his death. And it seemed like it was just, there was missing pages. So there's so many things. What was written in those 28 pages, right? What was written in those missing 28 pages? Why were the pages removed? Why? Who didn't want anyone to see what was in those pages? Maybe he thought that he could throw it overboard and someone would get it, like a message in a bottle. What happened to the rest of Fausto's crew? Like, what happened to them? Where did they go? And why did the men refused to be towed back to La Palma by the Duchess, the British thing? That could have, were there people downstairs with guns? Were they like, you know what I mean? Like I don't know. Did they have not, what was really in the boat? Maybe it wasn't fruit. Maybe it was guns. Maybe it was drugs. Who knows? We'll never know. Why didn't they say something happened when they were found the first time? Why didn't they offer any kind of explanation what happened during the first disappearance? Like, these are just mysteries that are going down with the sunken ship. So, remember, this, it was like post-war, early stages of the Francos regime that a lot of people were sentenced, millions of Spaniards, to live in suffocating poverty. These are the Canary Islands. So who knows what was going on back there? Like, we'll never know. So this is very mysterious. But let's go on to just do some speculations and some questions. I want to know what you think. Like, what do you think happened to the boat? Why didn't they want to be towed back? Why it disappeared three times? And why was there a naked guy in the engine? What happened to those 28 pages? Why would he say, "Don't tell my son what happened to me," when he has a daughter? All these mysteries, just we'll never know. We can speculate and theorize, and it's very interesting. And what do you think? Do you think that the boat really sunk from the Italians going back? So it's a mystery to me, the strange and the weird. So let me know if you like this episode, and please hit the download and give us a nice 5-star review. And thanks for listening.